Charlie C.
Check it out.
Yeah. I love God. You love God. What's wrong with you? I love God. You love God. What's wrong with you?
Praise the Lord. Happy Friday, brothers and sisters. I don't think I could live no other way. Welcome to the Morning Motivation Podcast live on Blog Talk Radio. 15 minutes of hot, hot, hot breakfast for your soul. I am Evangelist Rossi Williams, here with you Monday through Friday, tackling our everyday issues with biblical perspective, with a new topic, life prayer, and assigning you a daily task. Our topic for today is part two of three reasons the church must address racism. Oh, we're going to make the world a better place this weekend. Three reasons the church must address racism, and we are coming from the book of Amos, A-M-O-S, in the Old Testament, chapter 5, verses 11 through 12 and 18 through 24, which was our foundational scripture for part one and yesterday as well. While you're getting your Bibles ready, let me remind you to tune in live with me Monday through Friday at 6:30 a.m. Eastern by calling 323-870-4180. If you miss Morning Motivation Live, you can hear the recording posted at 8 a.m. Eastern and available all day, including all over this weekend, on my website, feeldfire.com, F-E-E-L-D-F-I-R-E.com, Facebook at Rossi Williams, Rossi is spelled R-A-W-S-I, or you can have the link for the recording text straight to your phone Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. so that you can hear it as many times as you want and share it and bless other people by sending the message MM for Morning Motivation to phone number 33222. That's the entire number, MM to phone number 33222, which subscribes to you to the podcast. You will receive an automatic enrollment confirmation text. Now, you can learn more about me, send me your testimonies, prayer requests, and contact me on my website at feeldfire.com, F-E-E-L-D-F-I-R-E.com. Well, by now, you should have those Bibles ready. I am in the book of Amos, chapter 5, verses 11 through 12, reading from the KJV. For as much, therefore, as your treading is upon the poor, and you take him, from him burdens of wheat, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink wine of them. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just. They take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. Going down to verses 18 through 24. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion, and a bear met him, or went into the house, and leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it? Now listen at what the Lord said here at this part. I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beast. Take thou away from me the noise of thy song, for I will not hear the melody of their vault. Hear this last verse. But let judgment run down its waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Come on and praise the Lord for his word wherever you are today. What is our topic? Say it with me. Part two of three reasons the church must address racism. If you missed part one, you can hear that on the Morning Motivation page of feeldfire.com. As our nation commemorates the 50th anniversary of the late, great Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s death, and as we collectively struggle with racism, the question remains of where is the church? As I stated in part one, this isn't about blaming any race or political party. Morning Motivation is a soul-driven calling, not a political podcast. Rather, it's about provoking the church to our rightful duty of righteous intervention to bring about efficiently sustainable unification in our nation. Thereby, we must address the church's lack of leadership in racial equality. Reason number two. Because the church is the preeminent authority on matters of the soul, which eventually take root as matters of the heart and grow up as issues of the mind, which manifest in tangible action and reaction, whether that conduct be good or bad. In other words, our nation is morally bankrupt because we, and yes, I said we because I'm not perfect, the leaders of the church are morally bankrupt. What I read to you in Amos chapter 5, verses 21 through 23, God said that he despised all of that hypocritical facade of his people, Israel, feasting and, you know, calling for the Daniel's fast as we do today and holding these solemn assemblies and begging for first fruit of a week's salary and month's salary from the people just to fill our coffers. But we don't really help anybody. We don't change any lives. You know, we are not going in and provoking deliverance and causing breakthrough to happen. We are just offering up a lot of noise. Where the Lord said, I don't even want to hear the noise of your songs, your melody, and your praise and worship. You're doing all of this, but nothing substantive. It's being produced. No souls saved, no lives changed, no healing, no deliverance. Thereby, we're not producing righteous judgment. We're not cloning righteous people. So we shouldn't expect to see righteous conduct. Where is the church? In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 11, the Bible states, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. So if the church knows God, and if God's spirit dwells within us, and if we are his representative agents in the earth, then the way that we live and our mission should be that the authority and the role model for how to live and how to provoke societal change and organizational change in mindsets to treat and love one another and how to respectfully disagree when mutual agreement cannot be attained, we ought to be the preeminent leader in that, shouldn't it? Why is it that we can't oversee and moderate resolution to the point where people can find comfortable or a comfortable position stating their positions, even their past, without fear of reprisal, of losing their livelihoods, or being labeled a racist, or a coon, or an Uncle Tom, or a thug, or ghetto? Where is the role model church? How long will we sit by hoping Hollywood will lead people to respectful disagreement, conduct, resolution, and unification? I already told you in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 on yesterday that the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That means the church ought to be the leadership in addressing racism and the issues we have today. Oh, I got to speed it up. Let's get to number three. Because the church is the originating party, not the aggrieved party, but the originating party, the appointed advocate, and the final authority with continuing righteous standing and jurisdiction of all races if we truly believe that God created the world. Because it means that he created everyone in it. And he gave Adam dominion, which continued on. It was a continuing jurisdiction with us. Thereby, we ought to be active participants. We ought to be boots on the ground soldiers. And we ought to be the strategic generals of how to bring our nation together. John 1, verses 1 through 4 tell us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word, hallelujah, was with God, and the Word was God. And Genesis 2 and 2 lets us know that God rested on the seventh day from all his labor. So if God created everyone, that includes you and that includes me, and every race and gave dominion to Adam, then we as the church ought to be able to preside, to lead, to moderate, and to show the world how this is done. Now, this does not mean that as the church, we fail to preach against righteous judgment. This does not mean that we become politically correct, or that we worry about what others think, or that we become sin to combat sin. No, we're in the world, but not of the world. But it means that, again, we are able to come in and to say to everyone, we got to address the elephant in the room. We got to deal with the bad conduct, whether it's the police, whether it's the African-American, whether it's the football players kneeling, whether it's the veterans getting mad about them kneeling, whether it's people diminishing the fight and getting mad about them kneeling. You see, whatever side it is, even if it's all sides, even if it's the government, the church has to deal with racial issues. You see, the world needs the church. Souls need the church. Families, governments, hallelujah, neighborhoods, courts, you, I need the church. And the time to stop hiding is now. Hide and seek is over. The game ended years ago. So why are we still hiding, waiting on someone to come and exert energy to find us before we make ourselves visible to the world? We are the church. You are the church. I am the church. And we have to now take our rightful role, to feel our rightful duty, to truly judge the world so that we can say, look, God despises our feast. He abhors our noise of praise, because now souls are needing us, and we've become a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal, because nothing has been accomplished in the fight. But let judgment run down its waters, and the righteousness has a mighty stream. But let judgment run down its waters, and righteousness has a mighty stream. Where is the church today? But let judgment run down its water, and righteousness has a mighty stream. You have not done a thing, church. Where are we? Let's go into prayer. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory to your name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, we come this morning in the name of Jesus, and we praise you. This is another day, God, that you have made. And you've given it to us. We're not worthy, but you gave it to us. And we just say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you and we praise you. We offer to you, Father, praise of repentance, submission. Hear us this morning, Father. We come asking forgiveness. Hear our cry as we stand to take our rightful place, Jesus, to exert our rightful duty, to do what you have called us to do, to be change agents in the earth so that souls will be saved, lives will be changed, conduct then will be effectuated to be righteous conduct, and we can address the elephant of racism and begin to bring about the unification in our nation. Now, Father, I come praying for everyone listening right now. Whatever they need, I remind them, Father, that there's nothing impossible for you. I remind them, Lord, that it is your will that none should perish. I remind them, Lord, that you do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. I remind them that it is your desire to prosper them and not harm them. I remind them that you are Jehovah Jireh, their provider. You're the healer. You're the father. You're the mother. You're whatever they need this morning. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Mount up with wings as eagles. Run and not be weary, and walk and not faint, if they will just believe and not doubt. And then, as in James 2:17 and James 2:26, then understand that faith without works is dead. Father, have your way today. Bless their homes. Bless on their jobs. Bless wherever they go. Just bless, 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 bless. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Let everyone listening say, amen. Come on and praise the Lord. Our time is run. Come on and praise him. I have to give the altar call, and then I will end with our task for today. Come on and praise the Lord. If you are not saved, if you're backslidden, then please repeat after me. Father, I come in Jesus' name. I ask the forgiveness of my sin. I repent, and I ask you to be my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come on and just continue to praise him. Our topic for today is part two of three reasons the church must address racism. Your task for this entire weekend, for today and this entire weekend, is to change the world. Make it a better place by checking and evaluating your own conduct. I don't care if you're black, white, brown, yellow, I don't care. Watch your wording as to what you say and make sure that it does not add to the division, but that it comes in to resolve it. Please share this with at least five people over the weekend. Just send them to feelthefire.com. They'll be able to hear it, FeeldFire.com. And do not forget to text the letters MM to the phone number 33222, so you'll get this recording and every recording sent straight to your cell phone Monday through Friday. Have a great weekend, and stop hiding, church. Make the world a better place.
Live a good life, and that's what